The Nine Hats. The pastor had a great line. Bible students are all Christians, though alas, all Christians are not Bible students. If the world says you're a Christian, assumptions are made. You've been labeled. A label is a classifying phrase or name applied to a person, especially one that is inaccurate or restrictive. God hasn't labeled us, but titled us. A title is an official rank. Through Scripture, God gave us human figures to associate with, examples which teach us. These human figures are nouns. What do the figures represent to us? And what duties correspond with these figures? I'm sure you've said more than once, I had many hats to wear in that job. I had so many hats to wear when I was doing so-and-so. Today, let's look at God's scriptural figures and associate them with the many hats we wear as Christians. Let's review nine hats, nine figures, nine titles we are called by God. I'm going to ask you to put on and take off these hats today. You pick the style of hat. Make sure there's enough room on the hat to fit the name of each title. Philippians 2:7 from New American. But Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And now from NIV. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Now from the Phillips verse 5 and 7 through 10, we quote, let Christ himself be your example as to what your attitude should be. But Jesus stripped himself of all privilege by consenting to be a slave. And having become a man, he humbled himself by living a life of utter obedience, even to the extent of dying. And the death he died was the death of a common criminal. That is why God has now lifted him so high. And he has given him the name beyond all names, so that at the name of Jesus, our favorite part, every knee shall bow. The thought is, let Christ himself be your example as to what your attitude should be. Jesus stripped himself of all privilege by consenting to be a slave. He humbled himself by living a life of utter obedience. Jesus emptied himself by taking the form of a bondservant. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. If Jesus became a slave, took on the form of a servant, what did he empty himself of? Whatever Jesus did, do we do that? Isaiah 42:19 through 21. We are to be blind and deaf to ourselves, the world and its enticements and allurements. In short, we are to be dead with Christ, immersed into his death. The Logos gave up his former glory. He stooped down to become a man and complete his mission. But Philippians 2:7 goes further into his human existence. Let Christ himself be your example as to what your attitude should be. So, what is our example? We empty ourselves. We become servants, our first noun. But there's a problem. Romans 8:14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. We have two figures. Are we servants or sons? Two nouns, two hats. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Well, am I a lowly servant figure or an ambassador figure? Then we read John 13:35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now we're disciples also? Then we read Colossians 3:12, King James, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. So now we are the elect of God, another figure. Romans 8, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Another noun, another figure, another hat we wear. 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4 from the Phillips. Put up with your share of hardship as a loyal soldier in Christ's army. With all these hats, is there room to be a soldier? 2 Corinthians 11, that I, God, may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. 1 Peter 2, but you are God's chosen generation, his royal priesthood. That seems like many figures, illustrations, or hats to me. Let's look at them today. Our first figure is bondservant or servant. Please look into your imaginary basket. Look into your heart, your mind. You see a hat that says servant. Put it on. Now what? From Strong's 1401, servant means a slave, subjection, subservience, bondman, bondservant. You want to be a slave? You put on the hat willingly. What is the job of a servant? To serve and please your master. We try and empty ourselves as Jesus did. Empty means we have no man inside screaming, but I have all these rights and things that I'm going to do. We become dead to our own wills. This is a constant process. Like Jesus, we empty ourselves of earthly ambitions, feelings, personal desires not in harmony with the master. You may say, I know that. Then why do we get offended when our feelings get hurt? Whose feelings matter? Ours or God? As servants of our own free will, we are under the authority of Christ. A servant's constant effort should be to bring every thought into captivity to his master's perfect will. Aside from righteous anger with the money changers, did Jesus say, you hurt my feelings? No, no record. This hat you wear says servant, a slave. Romans 6:22, King James. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God. Verse 22 from Phillips. But now that you are employed by God, you owe no duty to sin, and you reap the fruit of being made righteous, while at the end of the road there is life forevermore. As a servant, we are humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. With your servant hat on, try and look at things differently. When you have hurt feelings or anger, consider your job as a servant is to praise and glorify our Heavenly Father's name. What would he say to you about your hurt feelings? Father, these ones hurt my feelings. Okay, so what can you do to help heal the entire body? Imagine, please, if you will, 500 years into the kingdom, blessings are flowing from Zion. Billions have been resurrected. The Messiah says to you, remember that time you got upset when so-and-so wouldn't shake your hand? Or the time you got so upset because so-and-so didn't praise you for your work? How important is that to you today? Let's keep perspective. What will Brother Arbor's little feelings matter on that glorious day? If you disagree and want your feelings to matter, then at least agree that our feelings don't matter when they conflict with God's will. Remember that the victory comes when the old man is sacrificed. Let's not confuse the expression of feelings by the new creature regarding the fruits of the Spirit and love for your brother. Those you want to groom and express as Christ did. The extinguishing of your identity to become a better copy of Christ is a miracle. Isaac was a miracle birth, and we are miracles. The miracle is your transformation. To realize the benefits of freedom that God made available to his sons, we first become servants to Christ our head, who will complete our deliverance. 2 Timothy 3:12. Whosoever will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. To serve, to live righteously and godly in this present time will cost us our very lives. Pay the price. Let yourself go. We are under strict bondage to Christ. Titus 2, 9-10 from Phillips. Slaves should be told that it is their duty as Christian to obey their masters and to give them satisfactory service in every way. They are not to answer back or to be light-fingered, but they are to show themselves utterly trustworthy, a living testimonial to the teaching of God our Savior. End of quote. Satan and his kingdom are not based on love or righteousness, but upon selfishness. When I overly concern myself with my feelings, Brother Arbor is being selfish. I need to be empty. I need to be a servant. Who are the servants? Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. Revelation 7:3. Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have, our favorite part, sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads. 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. When my feelings are hurt, am I leading my brethren to God? Or harming Christ's body, my own body, further? We have no rights and want no rights. We sacrifice them to the will of God. We want the Lord's will done in us through wisdom and providence. If we are dealt with unjustly, we look to the Lord for guidance and accept his will when the answer comes. If we receive no deliverance, we thank the Lord and we learn the lessons from these trials and accept the instruction. You know that the ancient prophets were servants of God, justified by faith, thus they became friends of God. Their reward will be as earthly representatives of God's kingdom. We are servants of God, but we change from being dead to God and sin to alive to God, and you know the process. Faith in the redemptive blood, then justified freely by God's grace, we consecrate, we're sanctified, then we are alive unto God. We can now sacrifice. We serve as servants. If faithful, you will receive a higher reward than friend. 1 John 3:16. Jesus laid down his life for us when he emptied himself. And we lay down our lives for the brethren as we empty ourselves. What are the best words you could hear with your servant hat on? Well done, good and faithful servant. Wear this hat the best we can. Reach into your basket for our second figure. Look for a hat that says, Son of God. Put it on your head. Prior to Christ opening the way, how many sons of God were there? Yes, two, Adam and Jesus. We can add to the original number of two. We've been blessed with the power and privilege of becoming sons of God. Mentioned earlier, the highest relationship was to be God's servant and friend, but now you can be a son. Galatians 4:7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, like the ancient worthies, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. This power to become sons is not given to the dead in sin, but to those justified by faith, made right, made alive by believing in Christ's name. We as new creatures, sons of God, and prospective joint heirs with Christ, receive the Father's Spirit. Like Christ, who emptied himself and his feelings, we must be willing to lay down our lives in sacrifice as servants for God and the brethren. We are living sacrifices to God, holy, acceptable through Christ. With this arrangement and with this hat on, our hope is to be Christ's joint heirs. Romans 8:14, we read it often. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The proof you're wearing this hat is being led by the Spirit. You emptied yourself and willingly allow the Spirit to guide you into all truth. Our fruit bears witness that we are the sons of God. And if sons, well, then heirs. And if we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together with him. 1 John 3:1, King James. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Does the world see your hat that says Son of God? They've labeled you a Christian, but they can't see these figures given by God to help footstep followers receive a portrait of what it takes to grow and develop as a Christian. Ephesians 2:19 from New American. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Hebrews 12:4-6 from Phillips. After all, your fight against sin has not yet meant the shedding of blood. Let's pause. When your feelings are hurt or you're harmed in that fight, a struggle, God hasn't asked you to shed blood, to physically die. God has asked you the much easier lesson, which is to forgive others as God forgives you. Let's continue. After all, your fight against sin has not yet meant the shedding of blood, and you have perhaps lost sight of that piece of advice, which reminds you of our sonship in God. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Let's wear this hat well. Now reach into your basket, find our third hat, which says disciple, follower of Christ. Matthew 16:24. Does this scripture apply to you? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Of course. But the first part of the scripture I left off reads, then Jesus said to his disciples, so congratulations, you're all disciples. What's a disciple? John 13 said, if we love one another, we are disciples. Disciple means one who follows like a student follow his teacher. We are followers, pupils, students. If Christ is our pattern, our instructor, we delight that the Father has invited us to share these footsteps, share the cup of sacrifice with our Savior. If we declare to be his disciples by wearing this hat, if we walk as Jesus walked, there will be evidence. This school we are in is self-denial, self-sacrifice, motivated by a growing love for God and Christ, and we become zealous by the love. John 15:8, New American. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is the disciple hat. John 8:31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. With your servant hat on, you will deny yourself, become empty. And with your hat as a son, you will not despise the chastening of the Lord. With your disciple hat on, you follow the footsteps of the teacher, and the place where you emptied yourself becomes teachable filled with the likeness of Christ and an image of who God is. That space you emptied doesn't stay empty. Our fourth hat. Reach into your basket, your heart. Put on a new hat which says, Ambassador for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. The Greek word for ambassador is 4243, act as a representative. And from Merriam-Webster, an official envoy, an authorized representative or messenger. Imagine that you, as ambassador to the United Nations for your country, give a speech that starts with, before I send you the message directly from my leader, I think the following countries should be invaded and wiped off the map. When you get home, your leader pulls you aside and says, which part of ambassador didn't you understand? Ephesians 6:19 and 20 from Phillips. And pray for me too, that I may be able to speak freely here to make known the secret of that gospel for which I am, so to speak, an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may speak out about it as my plain and obvious duty. End of quote. Now that's some good ambassador instructions. So, we are empty. We serve. We have no feelings on the matter as ambassador. We simply speak the gospel, the scriptures. As ambassadors, we display to one another how to raise up our brothers and sisters to our Father. We bring others to God by speaking Christ's message of reconciliation and the call of the church. We speak on behalf of our Master and express no opinion, only his instruction, his truth. While wearing this hat, don't be you. Be an ambassador. The message is not yours. We are simply the representatives. As an ambassador, it helps me make a separation of myself and the message. It becomes easier to speak publicly. I'm not representing me or my shy self, just the message. Our fifth hat. Reach into your basket and look for a hat that says, Child of God. Why would you have on a hat that says, I'm a child of God? Because you are empty, willing as a child to be taught, a child willing to be fed by God, to be straightened as a tree should grow, to be shaped, chiseled, and polished, to become a jewel of God. Children are willing to try new things. Children easily make new friends. Romans 8:16 and 17. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Galatians 3:26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Ephesians 5:1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. 1 John 3:10, this is how we know who the children of God are. And who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. 1 John 5:2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. 1 Peter 1:14 and 15. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. We are children because God is our Father. This figure was used to give us perspective. and to remember the innocence and willingness we had as children. We were sponges. Being a child of God grows you in a certain likeness. As servants, sons, disciples, ambassadors, and children, with the many hats we wear provided by God, what can we give back to our Father? As we grow in grace and knowledge and grow the characteristics illustrated by these figures, which are illustrations to learn, we appreciate more the Heavenly Father's patience with us and how it helps us to apply the same principle of patience towards others. God has each of us at different stages of growth. And because I have not progressed exactly where you are when looking at my particular fruit, I might be looking back at you wondering the same thing about a different fruit. Respect the call to be children and let your Father complete his workmanship. The sixth hat we put on is the elect of God. The Greek word elect from Strong's 1588, select, favorite, chosen, make choice, choose out. Who are the elect? Colossians 3:12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. The elect is you, the called ones, willing to be changed. Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Brethren, you are God's choice. Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. 2 Timothy 2:10. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake. 2 Peter 1:10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling an election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Election here is 1589 in the Greek, which means divine selection, chosen. The elect is all of you, the consecrated class, who respond to the call of God and can expect that if faithful, you will receive a crown. Take off your hat, reach into your basket, and find our seventh hat, which says Soldier of Christ. Put it on. If you want it to be a helmet, that's okay. 2 Timothy 2:3 and 4 from NIV. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. The figure is that we are soldiers in Christ's army, and we report to a captain. We enlisted and knew the many duties required of us. We fight the common enemy with our fellow soldiers. Forget the Marines. We leave no one behind. This is the only race. When a runner falls down, all runners, soldiers, stop to help. As soldiers, we empty ourselves as Jesus did. As soldiers, we know we signed up to die. Our lives, our wills, our rights and privileges die in command of our captain. As protection, we have the armor of God, Ephesians 6. As we battle the world, the flesh and the devil, orders are being sent to us on how to win the battle. If we empty ourselves, there is no room to say, I disagree with that order. I think we should go this way. If we are in harmony with God, we are out of harmony with Satan and sin. Our little Bible student group, as the remaining company of soldiers, will stick together. We will not be separated by other soldiers who say, split up into smaller groups. Don't stand for that any longer. Reach into your basket. Reach into your heart and find our eighth hat, which says chaste virgin. Put it on. The pastor felt the chaste virgins represent the relationship between the church and her Lord during the time of his absence. We agree. 2 Corinthians 11:2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Espoused from Strong 718 means to fit, to join, hence to join oneself in marriage, hence means at a future time. It seems to me we could call the waiting period the engagement. During the harvest, who is being lured away from the bridegroom? The bride. God is jealous when the bride has other gods, idols, or time wasters. Jesus will choose and select those body members who overcome and remain faithful. When you've been apart from someone you love, think how excited you get in anticipation to be back with them. Think back to your own engagement. You were excited to be with the one you love. And when you're apart, well, it just wasn't fair. The bridegroom doesn't want us to cheat on him. He wants us to be faithful while we wait. He wants us to battle for him and his love as we make ourselves ready. The treasures we lay up in heaven are expressions of love developed between the bridegroom and us. The time for marriage is future. Our husband is far away. He prepares a place for us. He returns to claim his faithful virgins, and we will share his name as joint heir to all his inheritance. How much does the bridegroom and bride love each other? I've mentioned this before, but I just love it. Would you like to hear a chaste virgin speak? Solomon 6:1-3. We're going to summarize verse 1. The world may cunningly ask, where is your beloved that we may seek him with you? Oh, you most beautiful church. The chaste virgin replies, my beloved has gone down to his garden, to the beds of balsam, to pasture his flock in the gardens and gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. And Brother Arbor will add, and you can't have him, so there. The ninth illustration or figure we look at is the hat which says, self-sacrificing priest. Hebrews 5:1. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God, in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God. 1 Peter 2:9 from Phillips, we quote, but you are God's chosen generation, his royal priesthood, his holy nation, his peculiar people, and all the old titles of God's people now belong to you. It is for you now to demonstrate the goodness of him who has called you out of darkness into his amazing light. End of quote. This is best expressed in reprint 56:16. All who become united to Christ, of every faithful believer anointed with the Holy Spirit, as such a priest in things pertaining to God, he is a priest in the sense that he is counted in as a member of the body of the great high priest. As a member of Christ, he is associated in the work of sacrifice, presenting his body a living sacrifice daily. End of quote. Let's talk about living stones and the temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? 1 Peter 2:4-5. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. End of quote. We didn't include living stones as a figure or hat because a stone is inanimate. It's hard to associate with a stone. The illustration of living stones shows the results of wearing the nine hats. Stones show our growth, development, our chiseling. You become shaped and fitted into the temple. The scripture says these living stones are being built up. How can you be built up if you were full of yourself and not empty as Jesus was? We need room within ourselves for the filling in of the shape that the Lord needs us to take. We are espoused, engaged to, expected to complete our marriage with the bridegroom. Our primary work. Let's summarize. We are content leaving our reward in the hands of God. But when you're battling and losing energy, we all have these times of weakness. The devil may come in and whisper, "Don't work so hard." Quickly ask yourself, "Who will benefit from my work? How much better is this reward than any other?" To get perspective, contemplate the unimaginable reward of the crown of life, the privilege of doing blessing. This can be like medicine or healing salve to give you energy and zeal to continue the fight. This is not to glory yourself. You trust in the Lord for your highest welfare. For illustration, I want you to picture in your minds how during a G7 or G30 summit, all the world leaders are lined up for pictures. We have that on Canadian news all the time. They're all lined up. Take a moment. Picture in your mind all those leaders lined up so nicely. Consider this. These same leaders will obey the law coming forth from Zion, from you, through the ancient worthies. You, when found faithful to your bridegroom and your own body, if rewarded with this crown, you, Zion, will give instructions over these leaders, now just men. Do we appreciate that? Think of these things in conjunction with your love of Christ to motivate you in times of weakness. Why are we doing this? Our success will bring change and blessing. Back to our opening scripture, Philippians 2:7. Because Jesus was perfect, he was able to empty himself. We can't do what the perfect man Jesus did, which was made himself nothing, because we are imperfect. But, part one, we show God our intent. We present ourselves living sacrifices. Part two, be ye transformed by the renovating of your minds. This extinguishing of your identity to become a better copy of Christ. We are miracles, but only when we allow God to lead us and Christ to shepherd us. These figures that God selected embody a distinct feature of our relationship with him. We look up during trial and say, "This is the soldier hat." "Oh, I know this. It's the ambassador hat." I need to be more childlike. I need to be a better son. I need that servant hat on because I see too much of me and not enough empty. I need to appreciate my Lord and Savior more. I'm a chaste virgin. Servants, sons, children, disciples, ambassadors, the elect, soldiers, chaste virgins, and sacrificing priests. Love and embrace the figures given by God. They are his teaching tools, which enhance our learning and separate us from the worldly label of Christian. May the Lord add his blessing.